I saw a story this past week that caught my attention. I told some of you about it. Shlomo Zalman Orbach never told his kids that he wanted them to be Yerim Kirkozor. He never told his kids that he wanted them to be massive Talmidei Chachamim. Never told them that. Never said to them that I want you to be massive Talmidei Chachamim. Never told them that he wants them to be good Gedolei Yisrael. Never told them that he wants them to be that way. He thought there would be too much pressure for them. That would be way too much pressure, and that you can't ask that of them. So instead, he would tell them, I just don't want you to be an Am Haaretz. That's all he would say.
Because he was a Gano, or because anyone could say that to that's true.
It wouldn't be much of a story if it was only for Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So it's meant for everybody. That you shouldn't, you should just tell a person, I don't want you to be an Am Haaretz. Now we spoke about what it means to be an Am Haaretz and what it means to not be an Am Haaretz at the very, very beginning of this month. It's actually the first shmooze that we had was about not being an Am Haaretz. But I want you to consider this idea for a second over here. I understand what it means to not be an Am Haaretz. I also understand what it means for you to want your kids to be Gedolei Yisrael. I think you have to go a little bit deeper than just the I shouldn't live vicariously through my kids, meaning I shouldn't just allow myself to be, I'll let my kids become the Gedolim, and I'll let my kids do everything, and I'll put them in the position to succeed while I myself don't have the ability. I think there's a lot more than that. So what are your goals? What are your goals in life? Let's start with an easy one. What do you want to do when you graduate in a year, 2 years, or whatever it is? What do you want to do? Where are you? Where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself doing this? Do you see yourself doing that? Do you see yourself getting a job? Do you see yourself learning for a little bit more? Do you see yourself doing something different? What are your eventual goals? What is your end goal? Who are you going to work for? What do you want to work as? What do you want to see yourself as? Meaning, if money was no option at all, there was no option of money whatsoever, it didn't matter whatsoever, you were allowed to do whatever you wanted. So would you change your whole life goal to fit what your new plans are? Because meaning, my life goal is to be, right now, it's to be an accountant, let's say. But if I had all the money in the world, then I wouldn't be an accountant. I would be what? What would that be exactly? I mean, I'm asking this sort of in a, you know, without looking for an answer. I really want you to answer it for yourself. What would I be? And if you don't have the answer to that, those are two of the simplest questions that you have to ask yourself at your stage in life. For everyone here, this is not in high school anymore, and it's certainly not grade school, where you could say you're going to be a fireman, or I'm thinking about being a policeman, or I think about being, I don't know, even a garbage man for whatever it is. Right? That's no longer there. Now that you're old enough to know, there should be a defined idea in your heads. Where am I going to be next year, the year after that, the year after that? What is my eventual plan and my goal to be? Do I need to go for a master's, or can I go without a master's? Should I be looking for a job now, or should I not be looking for a job? Should I be looking for an internship? What exactly am I doing? And then it goes the other way as well. That's just the job type of offering. Where's your learning goals? What goals do you have for your learning? Do you want to be the guy who's able to learn Chumash with your kids, read Aleph Beis with your kids, and then do Mishnayos with your kids, and then there's an immediate drop-off where I no longer can learn Gemara with my kids? When my kids get into 7th, 8th grade, I have no ability to sit down and learn Gemara with them, and they're going to run circles around me? Or are you going to be the guy who's going to help your kids get past not just 7th and 8th grade, but through high school? And if you're not there yet, what do you need to do to attain that goal? How in the world are you going to help tutor yourself, not hiring somebody else? How are you going to tutor your 11th or 12th grade boy who's learning Gemara for 3 or 4 hours every day? 3 or 4 hours every day. How are you going to help him understand what's going on in the couple hours that you might have with him on a Friday or on a Shabbos? What are you going to do? I mean, what will you be able to say? You might not even have time during the week. Maybe you will have time during the week. But what would you do if you had father-son learning, and he's 15, 16 years old, and he says, Dad, I really need to chazer for a pechina that's coming up Sunday. I have to do 4 blot. I have to chazer on 4 blot. So are you going to be able to help him be able to do that? And how far are we? If you're not there yet, then what is your goal to get there? If you are there, then can you get any further in that goal? And that's just one part of it. How about for yourself? Forget about your kid for a second. Where are you holding for yourself? What do you want to finish? Do you want to be able to be the guy that when you get a little bit older, you're finishing mesechtas? You're going after mesechta after mesechta after mesechta. You're doing one after the other after the other. Is that what you're trying to do? Or are you going to be the guy that's going to write down chaburas? Write chaburas up and have a notebook full of stuff that you just learned up that you figured out in the sugya itself. And you wrote everything down. You have a tremendous amount of notes. You even might even print some stuff up. So when you have kids, and you have kids that have, I don't know, when there's a bris or when there's a kiddush, you put out a little kuntras about stuff that you learned. Do you have any goals aside from the obvious Gemara or Halakha-oriented types of things? Do you want to learn something that's aside from those? For example, do you want to go through Shas HaTshuvah Zigris Moshe to see how Rav Moshe really looked at different things? Do you want to possibly go through and finish an entire sefer of, let's say, Minchas Chinuch, Shev Shmaitzes, to be able to finish all of Chumash, Rashi, Ramban, and go further with Rabbeinu Bechaya? I mean, are these goals or are they not? And if they're not, you got to ask yourself, why not? Why is that not a goal? Why isn't that my goal? And if it is a goal, then what are you doing to further yourself to get to that point? What exactly is it? What do I need to do? Now, I happen to be lucky. I don't know if I was always this way, and I got into an argument last night about this with somebody that I was learning with, about whether or not I always had this. A guy who's known me for a very, very long time. I don't think I was, but I happen to love teaching. Love it. Absolutely love it. So even if I would win the lottery, let's say, I don't know if I'd win $600 million, I'd feel this way, but even so, I don't know what I would do with that amount of money, which is why I don't play the Powerball, so that works out well for all of us. I have no idea. If someone offered me all the money in the world to do anything that I wanted, what would I do? So I would assume that I'd remain in the same position that I am today. The only difference would be, this would be a really nicer shtender. And I think that the base medrash would have carpeting, and new carpeting every single year. And we'd get rid of those silly curtains. I think that would be like my number one thing. And I would probably not have anybody but a Rosh Hashiva here. But we're not saying that, oh, it's on tape, darn. I don't know. We just have to make a decision or something. Something would have to be figured out. But I think I'm pretty much where I want to be with or without all the money. Obviously, things would be a little bit different. There'd be air conditioning in this room. But for all together, the basic idea, the basic structure of my day, I would hope, if not the exact same thing, I would be able to at least keep most of the structure and be there. So the question is going to be for you as well. If your plans got altered by an unlimited amount of money or by something that happens, would that change your plans? And if so, why? Why? Why would they alter them? Are you only in it for the money? Is there a happy medium that maybe you could find something in the middle where your plans of what it would be if you were unlimited in the amount of money that you had versus where you wanted to go with life? Is there a happy medium where you could go there? See, all these things have to be thought about. They have to be thought through. Not because it's definitely possible that you're going to win the lottery. That's not what I mean whatsoever. It's just because if you go through life without ever thinking, am I really happy with this, or am I doing this just for the money? Then 5-10 years down the line, you're going to be thinking to yourself, why am I doing this job? I should be elsewhere. And why didn't I think of this 5 or 10 years ago? And you don't want to be in that position. You don't want to be in a position with a couple kids that are going through school with a tuition. At the time, it'll probably be $15,000 to $20,000 per kid per year. And you're sitting there and you're trying to understand, what am I supposed to do with my life? I can't just quit my job that's paying me $80,000 to $90,000 to $100,000 and go to start over again because I'm not happy with what I'm doing. I can't do that. So what are you going to do? You're going to get more upset? So you got to think about it now. So what am I doing now? And I realize I'm working in two very, very different directions here. One, as in what my life is going to be like job-wise, and one, what my life is going to be like learning-wise. But they're not so different. They're really not so different. They're both ideas of goals of where you have in mind, what you're looking at ahead of yourself, and what you want to be. So this is what I'm getting at over here. Without definitive goals, a definite goal in mind, an end goal, a person cannot do much in life. He could get really lucky That's possible. Maybe you'll have Siyata Dishmaya. Maybe you'll have Schus Avos that'll work for you. There's a possibility to be able to get a little bit more than what you expected or what anyone ever expected from you. That's definitely possible. There's no question about that. But you won't become great in anything. You can't do that without an end goal, without a plan to get to that end goal, without anything like that. You just can't become great. You're not heading anywhere. You're just letting everything come to you and figure out what's going to be the next day or the next week or the next month or the next year. So the good thing about this is that there are a lot of people who go through yeshiva without any goals in mind. They go through yeshiva because it's the right thing to do, because they're able to sit and learn Torah. But there's no end goal. So they finish yeshiva at the end of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it is, and then they say, now what? Now where am I heading? Now what am I going to do? And it's too late. 6, 7, 8 years down the line, you have no choice. Your only choice is look for a job. Find what you can get and take it. That's really all it is. So the good thing about this is that you're in a position to do something which you have a ton of options, a real ton of options. But you have to make sure that those options are available for you, and you have to know what they are. It's so good, and I know it's hard, and you guys complain about it all the time, about going to the dean and speaking to the dean and trying to figure out what you got to do, and it's so terrible, and whatever it is. But that does mean that you have end goals in mind. That means you know what you need to do in order to get there, even if he switches them up at the last second. That'll happen in life also. Even if things get messed up at the very, very end, at least you know what you're going to do. But it's so problematic in so many different systems, it's very hard to see what the end goal is. I'm going to be learning for 10 years, and then what? I'll see when I get there. Sometimes that doesn't work out very well. You need to know what you want to do. Figure out what you want to do. Even if you're in learning the whole time, you got to figure out what you want to do. Do you want to be a teacher? Do you want to be a Rav of a shul? Do you want to go into kashrus? Or do you want to go into something else entirely? You have to figure that out and say it. See, here's the deal. If you want to finish, you have to finish. That's all you got to do. You have to. And there's no other choice. So you have to put yourself into it. So my shkiach, Rebbe Brazil, and really it's said over and over and over again in Ali Shur. Each piece really deals with this in a different way. One after the other, in Ali Shur, Rebbe goes through it again and again and again. You need a Seder in life. There needs to be some type of a Seder. Somewhere in which you understand what your life is about and how you're going to go about and do it. Now, I have to be careful with this, and I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but with a proper Seder, if done correctly, a person could even have a girlfriend that he's not planning on marrying for the next 2 or 3 years. He could even have that, and it will work out. It could still work out. And he can still learn, he can still grow, he can still have ruchnias, even though he has that girlfriend on the side. But you have to have a Seder. Meaning, if it's that, I'll hang out with my girlfriend whenever I want, or I'll call her whenever I want, or we'll text whenever, and it doesn't make that much of a difference, then you're right, you can't learn. There's no way you can learn. Because your mind's not there. It's never there. It's always on that. And you'll never be able to get yourself out of it. That's that. But if you have a set Seder, in which you understand that you're only talking to this person at a certain time, in a way, that can help you grow. Because it takes away taivas, it can take away other ideas, take away other yitzharas. Now again, I'm being very careful when I say this. I'm not saying that everybody should go out right now, go get a girlfriend, and just call her on every night at exactly 8 to 8:23. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there's a possibility of using Seder in a positive way, that it could make even the worst things in the world go well. But when not, when there's no Seder, and there's nothing there, then there's a breakdown. When there's breakdown, things go very, very badly. See, this week's Parsha is a perfect example of that. An unbelievable example of that. See, we've been dealing with, in Parshas Bamidbar and Naso, of Siddurim, an unbelievable Seder, the Seder of counting Klal Yisrael and knowing where your place is, and then setting them up into Degulim so they all know where they are. The Nisim knew exactly when they needed to bring their Korban, and they had set, everything was absolutely set. And even though we can't compare ourselves to the people in Dor HaMidbar is so much greater than us, and the fact is, you can't say that Dor HaMidbar ever sinned. It's way beyond our level. But nevertheless, if it's in the Torah, it's something for us to learn from, and we're supposed to take something from it. So let's learn from it. Bnei Yisrael had complaints. Bnei Yisrael had major complaints. The Misonanim, as the Parsha says in this week's Parsha, the Misonanim, and then the Asafsuf, that were his Avu Taiva, that they had a Taiva, that there was a desire that was there. all this happened, and it only really started, the complaints, the issues, the real issues came when they left Har Sinai. Now what's the pshat, and what is Klal Yisrael trying to get? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to teach us with that? But Yisrael Mehar Sinai, Mehar Hashem, they traveled away from Har Sinai, from the mountain where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, and then all of a sudden, taivas, complaints, issues after issues. Now we know what we're getting into. Parshas Shlach is the Meraglim. Parshas Korach is Korach. Parshas Chukas is Moshe and Aaron themselves. Moshe and Aaron themselves are involved in something. Parshas Pinchas at the very end, Parshas Balak, I should say, at the very, very end, is where Zimri gets involved with the 24,000 people of Shevet Shimon. We're coming back to the Bnei Slavchad. The Bnei Slavchad come up very, very soon to remind us of what Slavchad did with Shabbos. We're dealing with chet after chet after chet in Bamidbar from now on. Every parsha has something that went wrong. Something that went wrong in each one of them. There's something that happened. So what are we trying to learn? Because when they were there, they had a Seder. When they were at Har Sinai, for all those days that they were there, there was an unbelievable Seder. Granted, they were only there for about a year and 10 days. Year and 12 days altogether. But there was a Seder. They knew what they had to do. You get up, you go out and you get the mun. You bring it back, you eat. You go to yeshiva, which is really where most Rabbeinu or Aaron or Nadav and Abihu, when they were alive, or Elazar and Itamar, or Sanhedrin, somebody was teaching. Somebody was learning. And they all went, they sat down and learned. They figured out what that learning meant the rest of the day. They went home, took care of their family, whatever they needed to do. I don't know if there was anything. And they went to sleep. You woke up the next morning, it was the same thing. Monotonous, yeah. Boring, 100%. Boring, unbelievably boring. But they understood that they had a Seder and they did it and everything was perfectly fine. When they traveled, even while they were traveling, there was a Seder. They knew where to go and where to stand and what to do, what to carry, what to hold, what everything they had to do, and everything was fine. But once they finished the travel and came to a new place, and they weren't able to set up everything the same exact way that it was in Har Sinai, that's where the complaints start to come in. Once you're by Yisum Mihar Hashem and you travel away, and all of a sudden the Seder is a little bit shot, there's a breakdown in the system, all of a sudden there's something a little bit wrong where the grumbling starts. That's where something happens. You just look at it and you say, I don't know. That's where the complaints and the issues and all those bad things come in. And that's because you're just not used to it. There's no Seder. There's nothing there for you. We're now at the end of this month. It's the end of this month. With the Kol HaDeos. Okay? We've got 4.5 weeks left. 4.5. And not even that, I don't even know if I can count it a full week at the very, very end, because that's finals week and everybody goes crazy during finals. It's really, you have 3.5 weeks. The end of this week plus 3 weeks, and that fourth week at the very, very end, which is the last week of this month, and that's it. And you're throwing yourself right into the summer. The Gehenim of summer vacation and women who think that they're at the beach and without the tzniyas, please, for Mayor Sharon taking care of it all for you. Summer's month. Well, it's more than summer's month. It's the summer. It's the summer. There's no official learning. As much as we're trying to have, as much as we possibly can. There are classes going on at all times. You're going to be in a place where things are just all over the place. Kayet, summer's mind, as Daniel said before, our official summer's mind. But it's just not the same. It's not the same. You're not going to have the same rabbam. It's not going to have. See, there's a problem, because when you get into those types of situations where there's no Seder, you don't have to be up at 7:30 necessarily for Shacharis. You don't have to make sure that you're there at 9:30 or 9:15 for morning Seder. You don't have to make sure that Mincha is at 1:45. You can just, you know what? I'll make a Mincha a little bit later. You know what? I'll just make sure that I go to an 8 o'clock minute and then I'll come back. You know what? I'll just go around. When those things happen, when that breakdown is there, it's a breakdown. So here's the job. We all live in lives in which we're up and down and up and down and up and down on the regular line of life. We have our ups, we have our downs, and it would be great if we were stable the entire way and everything would be all good. It's not a flat line, that's a good line, right? You're going up and down. See, sometimes we go all the way up, like on a day like Yom Kippur, or on a night like Shavuos. You can go all the way up. The key is that whenever there's a one all the way up, there's always one that goes all the way down. The key is stop yourself before it goes all the way down and build yourself back up. You have to find out what you need to do even now and prepare yourself for what's going to be when that line starts to come really, really down. How far are you going to allow yourself to go? And then how can you make that yerida into a tzorech aliyah, And that's the important point, to make it into, it's your either, but I need it to grow higher. When are you going to stop and when are you going to say, no, that's enough, I'm not going to go any further? What are your limitations? What are you not going to do this summer no matter what? No matter what. It doesn't matter what anybody does or says or thinks or whatever. I will not do what? And if you don't have a list of that, make one. You need it. Because that's part of a Seder. Sederim deal with time. Sederim also deal with what you're willing and not willing to do. And you have to have a Seder for everything in life. Because if there isn't, that's breakdown. That means complacency, that means laziness, and that means a complete and utter breakdown from what you have. That's what you need to start working on now. So again, let's go through it. You need goals. And you better have those goals, both in where you're going in life and where you're going in your learning. Have end goals in mind. It's one of the reasons why Second Seder is so good, to be able to know that you're finishing a Masechta. That's the concept. Have an end goal. Something in your head. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm going to finish. This is how I'm going to do it. Those goals are there. But there's more to it. Have goals in what you're going and not going to do when it comes to the rest of your life. What are you willing and not too willing to do? I'm sorry to have to make you guys think, and I never give you guys homework. Never. I don't think I've ever done it. But it's time for you guys to really think. While you're chazering everything that you have during the day, which of course needs to be done, while you're doing that chazara, there should be a time that you set aside for a little bit of cheshbon nefesh. Not real cheshbon nefesh of like, whoa, what's up with you? That's not that deep. I mean a little bit. What are your goals? Where do you want to head? And write them down. And if you don't write them down, I guarantee you they're going to be forgotten. Put it in a place where no one else will see it. Keep it in your wallet if you want. Keep it in your wallet. But make sure you have those goals of what you want and then go about succeeding. Go about making sure that those goals are held up. If you do that, I can guarantee you success. If you don't, I can't guarantee you anything. I can't even help you, really. There's not much that a person can do if the person himself, anybody, there's nothing you can help if the person doesn't want to do anything with it. Find it. What is it for yourself? My goal? Getting air conditioning in this room.
Yeah.
That's a goal. Okay?